The Assyrian Origin of Christmas, The Truth About Christmas. All scriptures are KJV unless otherwise noted. Almost everyone believes what they believe, not because of deep personal study of the scriptures in fasting and prayer, but rather because it is what they were taught by their family, friends, ministers and local churches. But the Bible does not say to believe what the world teaches you. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Romans 12 verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, and acceptable, and perfect, will of God. Hebrews 11 verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Matthew 7 verse 7, ask, and it shall be given you, seek, and ye shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. So, let's study the topic of Christmas and see what the real truth is, not what our parents taught us or what anyone else taught us, but rather the real truth. Should we celebrate Christmas? Does the Bible command the worship of Christmas or Jesus' birth? I encourage you to look at any Bible or any Strong's Concordance of the Bible, and seek and find any reference to the word Christmas in the Bible. Can you find it? Well, you can search your entire lifetime, but the word Christmas never appears in the scriptures. What about a command to observe Christmas? No. What about a command or admiration to observe Jesus' birthday? No. What about a scripture where someone was observing Jesus' birthday? No. What about a scripture indicating that Jesus was born in December? No. I don't expect you to believe me. Pull out your Bible, blow the dust off of it and look for yourself. What about when the wise men gave gifts to Jesus at his birth? According to the Bible, by the time the wise men came to Jesus, he was no longer in the manger and no longer an infant. But rather he was a young child in a house. Matthew 2 verse 11. In fact, Herod clearly believed that Jesus was not a newborn babe by the time the wise men had arrived, he slaughtered all the young boys up to 2 years old. Verse 16, the wise men did not give Jesus birthday presents. It is well documented in history that the Jews of that time considered all birthday celebrations as pagan. Every time an annual birthday celebration is mentioned in the Bible, it is that of a pagan, never of God's own people. The wise men would not have risked offending the Jewish family by doing a pagan custom. They were presenting gifts to the king. That was a custom that was not pagan and was embraced by the Jews. Also, the Bible never says it was 3 wise men. It never says how many wise men there were. So to say that there were 3 wise men is to add to scripture and say something that the Bible does not say. And since we also know from the scriptures that the wise men were not present at the birth, then it is yet another lie to say that they were. The local shepherds came to adore the newborn king. But it took longer for the wise men to arrive later. The presents of gold, frankincense, and myrrh were extremely valuable and were fit for the king, not for a pagan birthday celebration. So the fact remains that there is no scripture indicating Christmas or December 25th as the birth of Jesus or that we should observe this holiday. The observance is only out of the traditions of man, not out of the scriptures. Since the word Christmas is not listed in the Bible, where did the word Christmas come from? That's important because the scriptures tell us to not add to the word of God. It is very well documented that Christmas comes from Christ Mass, a word from the occultist Roman Catholic Church. Not from the Bible. It is also very well documented, and not disputed, that Christmas customs and observance started thousands of years before Jesus was born. You do not have to trust me. Look it up yourself. The Roman Catholic Church was the first to call it Christ Mass and Christmas, but the observance of December 25 with a great feast, Christmas tree, partying and exchanging of gifts, was already in existence well before the precious birth of Christ Jesus. December 25th and the days before and after that date, the 12 days of Christmas, was observed for the winter solstice and the birthday of many of the pagan false gods. The pagans observed the constellations, sun, moon, stars, and planets and worshipped those heavenly bodies as gods. They knew when the winter solstice would occur by watching the signs of the heavens, the skies. Every December, they would notice how the evergreen tree was the only type of tree that did not lose its leaves and die out. They saw the evergreen trees as a symbolism of eternal life, as well as of fertility. So, they went into the woods and cut down an evergreen tree, brought it inside, fastened it so that it would not fall over, and decorated it with silver, gold, and candles. They did not do this just at any time of the year, but only in December, around December 20th to 25th. It was not in honor of the true Almighty Creator, but rather in honor of the pagan worship of false gods, especially originally of Assur, a real Assyrian man who became worshipped as a god. Eventually, it became also celebrated as the birthday of Zeus and other false gods. Eventually, hundreds of years after Jesus was born, the Roman Catholic Church adopted this same holiday in an attempt, they said, to win the hearts and souls of the pagans. The Roman Church said that the pagans may continue to observe this pagan satanic day and customs, as long as they did so to the true God, Jesus. The Roman Church observed the pagan day right along with the pagans. Eventually, some men, such as Martin Luther, started to disagree with some of the doctrines of the Roman Catholic Church. Martin Luther spoke out and wrote against the Catholics selling certificates of salvation in return for money. So Martin Luther and the Catholic Church got into a war against one another, and Luther started his own church, the Lutheran Church. However, only a few of his new church doctrines were different from the Catholic Church. By far and large, the majority of his doctrines remained to be identical with the pagan Catholic doctrines, including the observance of Assyrian Christmas. Other men came out of the Catholic Church and out of the Lutheran Church and founded the new denomination/branches of the Catholic Church, now known as the Methodist, Presbyterian, and Episcopal churches. Each generation had people who disagreed with just a couple of doctrines, who established their own new church denominations, such as the Baptist Church and Pentecostal churches, but each still holding onto the traditional doctrines of the Mother Church, the Roman Catholic Church, who had gotten her ancient doctrines of Christmas, Easter and a Trinity God and eternal torment in hellfire from Alexander the Great, Plato, Dante Alighieri, Egypt, Babylon, and Assyria. Many of the traditional denominational doctrines that you were taught from childhood, originally came from pagans and demons in ancient Assyria and were passed down to the modern churches of man via the Roman Catholic Church. You don't have to believe me. Look it up yourself. Seek and you shall find, if you truly love the truth, what the Bible says about the Christmas tree. Jeremiah 10 verse 1, Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, Learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. What are the signs of heaven? Very clearly, it is talking about the constellations, sun, moon, stars and planets. This tells you right here that the following custom of decorating a tree was done at a particular time of the year and was in relation to pagan worship of the creation rather than the Creator. Modern witches who do not follow Jesus, decorate a Christmas tree every year in worship of what they call Mother Earth. For the customs of the people are vain, for one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman, with the axe. The Strong's Concordance word for customs here doesn't mean traditions per se. It is the same Hebrew/Aramaic/Syrian and Greek words for my statutes and ordinances, as in something that is religious commanded or required. But in this case, it's not my commandments, as in the commandments of God, but rather it's the commandments of the people. Christmas is not commanded or required by God, but only by the people through their religious pagan traditions. It is their own commandments, not God's. Now notice what custom that is in vain. One cut a tree out of the forest, see next verse to learn what they do with the tree. They deck it with silver and with gold, they fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not, they must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. Verse 5 does not say that it is a palm tree, but rather that this idol is upright as the palm tree. It is a comparison. Forasmuch as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Verse 6 tells us that this breaks the first commandment, to have no other gods but only the true God. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain, forasmuch as among all the wise men of the nations, and in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. But they are altogether brutish and foolish, the stock is a doctrine of vanities. Silver spread into plates is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz, the work of the workmen, and of the hands of the founder, blue and purple is their clothing, they are all the work of cunning men. Verse 9 reveals that the people turned the tree into a graven image, a carved idol. It wasn't just a decorated tree like we see today. But that does not remove the fact that the pagans were using trees in their false worship. Although this is not exactly 100% like our modern Christmas trees, it's the very same spiritual fornication and idolatry. Your tree doesn't have to be carved into an image with a face in order to be an idol. What is seen here in Jeremiah 10 is an ancient form of the modern Christmas trees. These are Christmas trees. People stopped carving it into a shape, but our modern Christmas trees are still idols. Today, people add their own images via an angel on top, photos, or carved decorations. Jeremiah 10 is still talking about the Christmas tree. Changes in the ancient custom doesn't prove that it's not the same pagan activity. To try to claim that the tree of Jeremiah 10 has nothing to do with Christmas trees is no different than a person trying to say that there is no connection between a 1908 Ford Model T and a 2015 Mercedes-Benz. Things evolve and change over time, but everything has an origin. A car is a car and a tree idol is a tree idol regardless of who makes it or how you paint it. What does Christmas trees have to do with the birth of Christ? Nothing. It doesn't honor Jesus at all. It's an abomination unto the Lord. But the Lord is the true God, He is the living God, and an everlasting King, at His wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide His indignation. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth, and from under these heavens. The Christmas tree symbolizes the forbidden tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In the Catholic and Orthodox churches, the Christmas trees were called paradise palm, paradise trees, and were brought into homes to celebrate the annual feast of Adam and Eve on December 24. They placed apples on the tree to represent the forbidden fruit. These apples were eventually replaced with the glass ball ornaments that people put on their trees today. People are bringing the forbidden tree of the knowledge of good and evil into their homes. It all started with a snake in a tree. This is the decorative rope that wraps around the tree. The devil still celebrates the fall of Adam and Eve. Christmas is the birth of man's fall. It is not Christ's birth. Jesus was actually born September 11. See the website for proof that the Christmas tree represents the forbidden tree, fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. See also proof that Jesus was born on September 11. The bottom line concerning Christmas trees is that they are not a biblical symbol of the birth of Christ and are very clearly a wicked symbol contrary to our Holy Savior Jesus Christ. Who is Santa Claus? What does he have to do with the birth of Jesus Christ? What is the origin of ho, ho, ho? The reindeer? The elves? What does any of this have to do with Jesus? If you would just do your research, you can very easily find the origins of all of this. But you will find that it has nothing to do with Jesus. Just the opposite. They are all demonic. Satan Claus is Satan himself and the elves are his fallen angels. These things, just like the Assyrian Christmas tree, are all contrary to Jesus Christ. You can go to any American mall or store and see Satan Claus, his elves and the reindeer and all kinds of decorations except Jesus. I thought that you said Jesus is the reason for the season. Yet everything about Christmas is pagan. Every bit of it. Christ was never in Christmas, and so we should not try to add him into this pagan Antichrist festival. Satan Claus has his origins mixed from several different monsters and false gods. Here is just one of many references: Saint Nicholas, his legend and his role, pages 134 to 135. Among Teutonic peoples, particularly, this water spirit is widely known with various names, such as Nix, Nickel, Nick Elman, Nick, Nuck. Millers are said to be particularly afraid of this spirit and to throw different things into the water on the 6th day of December, St. Nicholas Day, to propitiate it. In the character of Neeker, a Protean water sprite, he inhabits the lakes and rivers of Scandinavia, where he raises sudden storms and tempests and leads mankind into destruction. In France there is known a similar water monster, and there, paradoxical as it may seem, it has taken the name of the benevolent Saint Nicholas. It is a terrible monster that seizes fishermen who walk without permission by the waterside at nightfall. It has claws and tears the faces of the children that remain too late on the beach. The same conversion of an old name to a new use is to be seen in the case of the old Nick, in the beginning the name of a water spirit, later a name for the devil. See link on the website to learn more about Santa Claus, the great imposter. History of Ho 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 and Robin Hood. Also do research on the false god Thor, the god of thunder who dressed in red and came down the chimney and had flying reindeer. Commanded dates of observances in the Bible. The scriptures give us detailed instructions and commandments to observe specific dates of commemoration. It tells us how and when to observe Passover, Pentecost, the Festival of Tabernacles and other holy days. It also gives us examples of holy followers of the Almighty instructing the people to celebrate and remember important dates when the Almighty Creator gave His people victory. However, although every book of the New Testament was written decades after the birth, death and resurrection of Jesus, it never tells us to observe an annual birthday celebration of His birth. It does tell us in detail how to observe His death, by which we were saved, but never His birth. The scriptures tell us to not add to or take away from what He tells us to do. If the pagans worshipped their false gods on December 25th, why can't we celebrate Jesus' birthday on December 25th? Can't we just Christianize the date and turn it around from evil to good? I will let the scriptures answer that for you. Deuteronomy 12 verse 30, "Take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, How did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord, which he hateth, have they done unto their gods, for even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. What things soever I command you, observe to do it, thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it." You cannot get more plain than that. He does not want us to worship Him with demonic ancient pagan customs. He is a holy God. We cannot worship Him with dirty, vain, pagan worship. You can add His name to it, and lie and say it's His birthday, but you would only be lying and compromising with the paganism. And what is paganism? It is the worship of all gods. It is breaking the first commandment, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Question: is it enough to just believe in God and worship Him how we choose? Answer: no. James 2 verse 19, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well, the devils also believe, and tremble." Read Deuteronomy 12 verses 29 to 32 again. Question: is it possible to worship God but that worship be in vain? Is it possible that some ministers use the name of God but yet deceive people? Answer: yes. Matthew 15 verse 9, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Mark 7 verse 7, "Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Romans 1 verse 21, "Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Romans 1 verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-foot beasts, and creeping things. Excuse, but I'm not doing Christmas for pagan reasons, I'm worshiping God, so what's wrong with it? I am just taking something that was pagan thousands of years ago and translating it into something for Christ. Answer, Matthew 15 verse 9, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Many people falsely claim that I am taking Matthew 15 verse 9 out of context. But notice that Jesus used some of the same words of Jeremiah 10 verses 1 to 4 where it says the customs of the people are vain. Jeremiah 10 is talking about the ancient origin of the Christmas tree. People still follow that vain custom slash tradition to this same day. It was a custom that was not commanded by God. And in fact, broke the first commandment, Thou shalt not have any other God before me. And the second commandment, Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image to bow down to or worship. Although Matthew 15 begins with talking about people having the vain religious belief of washing hands to spiritually cleanse themselves, Jesus responded by speaking of other vain religious practices such as refusing to help their parents because they wrongly thought that all tithes had to be paid only unto the temple. So Jesus himself expanded the discussion to go beyond only washing hands, to other religious customs as well. His statement that people worship him in vain, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men included, in the mind of God, not only washing hands, but all and any vain religious customs including Christmas, because indeed it is a vain religious custom as stated in Jeremiah 10. Deuteronomy 12 verse 30, take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them, after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God, for every abomination to the Lord, which he hateth, have they done unto their gods, for even their sons and their daughters they have burnt in the fire to their gods. What things soever I command you, observe to do it, thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. God does not want us to take the pagan holidays of the Assyrians, Druids, and false gods and observe those same days for his purpose. He has set rules. You can't just justify your own ways, we must follow his ways, not ours. Excuse, I'm not observing the pagan gods, I'm worshiping Christ. We are to capture anything that is used for darkness and claim it for Christ and bring it into the light. Answer, the origin of Christmas and Easter is of the devil and darkness for the purpose of getting people to worship in vain, which is what the Bible says about the Christmas tree and about the Easter sunrise service. It is not bringing it into the light and for Christ if we are still using the same pagan rituals that the pagans used to celebrate these days. It is also not of God if we do not tell the people the truth about the origins. It is deception to tell the people that the reason for the season is Christ. The reason for the Christmas and Easter seasons is that the devil created false worship days, counterfeits of what God really wants us to do and worship. God gave us true holy days in Leviticus 23 and other scriptures. Christmas and Easter is not listed as days that God wants us to keep. If people want to capture the pagan holidays and bring them into the light of Christ, they should be honest about the origins and not hide the origins and tell the people the truth instead of lying about it or instead of hiding it. Question, doesn't the fact that Christmas is under attack show that the devil does not like us keeping Christmas and that God does want us to keep it? Answer, no. In fact, if you really examine who is behind the lawsuits and disagreements in the public schools, etc., you will find that the Satanists and pagans are not the ones behind trying to keep Christmas out of the public realm. It is the atheists who do not believe in God or the devil, either one, who are behind those attacks. The real Satanists and pagans and witches are in favor of keeping Christmas. Real Satanists, pagans, and witches keep Christmas and Easter as they have done even before the time Christ was born. Real evil people keep these holidays and even laugh at Christians for keeping them. They laugh because they know and even have stated to me that they think it is so funny that Christians are keeping their satanic holidays. They even kidnap and murder people on these days. Every Christmas and every Easter, people die because of these pagan rituals. Question: is Christmas really evil or is it just too commercial? Answer: why must you hang on to a pagan holiday? Do you not want to give it up? This is really a matter of keeping the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20 verses 3 to 5, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I the Lord thy God am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Excuse, we are celebrating Christ's birth. I am even keeping the Christmas tree out. Now there is no harm just remembering Christ's birth on December 25th, even though I know that's not the real day. Answer: truly Christ was born. But the early church and the apostles did not celebrate birthdays. The word of God goes to extra effort to tell us when to keep holy days. But it does not direct us to keep birthdays. If you feel that you must remember his birth, please do so on a day that is not confused and compromised with demonic pagan customs. Pagan customs equals sin. Pagan customs equal worship of false gods. So pick another day of the year. Let's be honest. How much time at Christmas do you spend thinking and talking about Christ? When you are at a birthday party for a child, that child is the focus of all the attention. Everything done that day and in that party is focused on that child. Is this so at the Christmas party? Is this so at your family gathering? Or is the focus on the presents to one another and not on Christ? What is the conversation? Think about it and be honest. Who is on the Christmas wrap? Satan Claus or Jesus? Who is on the top of the tree? An angel or Jesus? Is Jesus the focus? Or not? Excuse, this is a time for the family to be together and be thankful and rejoice. Answer: Thanksgiving is a time for the family to get together and be thankful and rejoice. Passover is a time for the family to get together and remember Christ. Pentecost is a time for the family to get together and rejoice. And so forth. We are not lacking a day to gather and rejoice. You can give gifts at the Feast of Tabernacles, which is highly likely to be the real birth of our Savior Jesus the Christ. Ignorance not an excuse. Acts 17 verses 28 to 30. For in him we live, and move, and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold, or silver, or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Christmas counterfeits of Christ. Santa vs. Christ. Comes in the night, comes as a thief in the night, 2 Peter 3 verse 10, 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 2. Dressed in white and red, clothed in white and red, Revelation 19 verses 13 to 14, Isaiah 63 verses 1 to 3. Brings gifts and rewards, brings gifts and rewards, Romans 6 verse 23, Revelation 22 verse 12. White hair, Revelation 1 verse 14. Comes with reindeer, comes with horses, Revelation 19 verses 11 and 14. Comes with a sleigh, comes with chariots, Isaiah 66 verse 15. Santa Claus is not real. We should not partake in lies, Revelation 22 verses 14 to 15. Old Saint Nick, one of Santa's names, is a name for Satan, see Old Nick in the dictionary. The word Santa unscrambled is Satan. Christmas and calf worship. Quote, what do they have in common? What if your church or family or friends said to you, hey, let's make a golden calf in commemoration to all that God has done for us. And then after they fashioned their golden calf, they took it and placed it on an altar and then announced, tomorrow let's make a feast to the Lord. we will rise up early and offer gifts and presents as peace offerings here at this altar. And then we will eat and drink and enjoy each other's company. Would you go along with the activities? Of course, it's a ritual that has pagan origins, but your friends say that they are devoting this feast to the Lord and doing it in His honor. Would you convince yourself and others that it was the right thing to do? Would your excuse be that you were conquering paganism by turning the golden calf into a way to honor Christ? So what do you say? Are you in? Would you go along with your church, your family, and your friends on this? Well, there was a group of people who long ago were faced with this very scenario. They were the Israelites whom God had led out of captivity from Egypt. They were on their way to the Promised Land. But there came a time when someone came up with the bright idea of making a golden calf and claiming that it was a good way to honor God, Exodus 32 verses 1-4. The Israelites had previously been taught God's warnings that they were not to make graven images nor bow down to them nor serve them, but they decided to do it anyway. They had witnessed with their own eyes the wickedness of Egypt with its false gods and pagan religious rituals, yet here they were copying the very people whom God was trying to set them free from. It is true that they tried to clean up and make holy what they were about to do by saying that the calf was an offering and festival to the Lord. The Bible reads, "And when Aaron saw it, the golden calf, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation, and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow, and offered, and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink, and rose up to play." Exodus 32 verses 5-6. But do you think God wanted their pagan-inspired calf? Do you think God said, "Well, they scratched off Molech's name and replaced it with my name, so that makes it all right"? Of course not. God was not pleased at all. Let's read just how unpleased God was with the Israelites for doing this thing. The Lord said to Moses, "Hurry back down. Those people that you led out of Egypt are acting like fools. They have already stopped obeying me and have made themselves an idol in the shape of a young bull. They have bowed down to it, and said that it is the God who brought them out of Egypt. Moses, I have seen how stubborn these people are, and I'm angry enough to destroy them, so don't try to stop me." Exodus 32 verses 7-10, CEV. As Moses got closer to the camp, he saw the idol, and he also saw the people dancing around. This made him so angry that he threw down the stones and broke them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. He melted the idol that the people had made, and he ground it into powder. He scattered it in their water and made them drink it. Exodus 32 verses 19 and 20, CEV. So Moses stood at the gate of the camp and shouted, "Everyone who is on the Lord's side, come over here." Then the men of the Levi tribe gathered around Moses, and he said to them, "The Lord God of Israel commands you to strap on your swords and go through the camp, killing your relatives, your friends, and your neighbors." The men of the Levi tribe followed his orders, and that day they killed about 3,000 men. Exodus 32 verses 26-28, CEV. The Israelites were trying to exchange the truth of God for a lie, and they were trying to fit satanic-inspired worship into true holy worship and devotion. But we can clearly see that God did not want anything to do with it or those who got involved with it. God considered these people as evil and ordered them to be destroyed. Now, you may be sitting there saying, "Well, I would have never taken part in something like that anyway. I know better." Do you? Are you sure you haven't already been doing this very same thing? How similar were these actions by the Israelites to something that Christians around the world do every year? Christians take something that they know has evil origins, satanic beginnings, and pagan roots, and they change the name of it around, and tack on a couple of sweet-sounding platitudes, and proclaim that it's a day of honor to the Lord. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the yearly celebration of Christmas by so-called followers of Christ. The origins of Christmas and the traditions associated with it are widely known by the world to have derived from the pagan Romans and their feast of Saturnalia in honor of their god Saturn. Everything from gift exchanging, evergreen trees, mistletoe, tree decorating, Yule logs, holly and ivy traces back to this satanic ritual that the pagan Romans practiced. In spite of having knowledge of Christmas' sordid beginnings, stiff-necked, rebellious Christians insist on doing just like the Israelites, and they turn this golden calf from Satan himself into something they worship as unto the Lord. All of it is truly offensive to the very one you claim to be honoring. If you put a pig in a tuxedo, you still have a pig. And if you take that which is dung and set it in a box and gift wrap it, it still stinks. You cannot make what is unholy holy, and God does not want that which has been offered to devils given to him as homage. The Lord didn't want Israel's golden calf, and he doesn't want your Jesus is the reason for the season nonsense. End quote. Antichrist also keeps Christmas. Both Christmas and Easter started in ancient Assyria. The end-time son of perdition, Antichrist, president of Syria, also keeps these Assyrian pagan holidays. See link on the website for historical information about the Assyrian origin of Christmas. Allah is the only Islamic sect to claim Jesus as the Son of God and as God and to observe communion, Christmas, Easter, and believe in the Trinity. No other Muslim leader could possibly deceive people into accepting Islam as easily as Bashar Assad and the Allahi sect's leaders. This is the only Muslim antichrist that could possibly tell Christians that they don't have to give up Jesus as God, Christmas, Easter, and the Trinity doctrine. They can continue to keep all their pagan customs of Christmas and Easter and the Trinity doctrine and just accept Bashar Assad as the reincarnation of Jesus and Allah. The Allahis believe that Muhammad, Allah, Jesus and Bashar are all the same person, just in different time frames. Just as the Roman Catholic Church also allowed the people to continue to keep the pagan customs of Christmas and Easter in order to get them to accept the Roman Catholic Church, so will also Bashar Assad allow Christians to continue these same ancient pagan days, as long as they accept him as God and convert to Islam. These days actually fit perfectly into their pagan worship. The Assyrian origins of Christmas, Assyrian origins of Easter, Assyrian origins of the Trinity doctrine, Assyrian origins of the so-called Star of David, Assyrian origins of the Yah names, all point toward the Assyrian son of perdition and the Assyrian invasion of the nations. For more information, please visit www.isawthelightministries.com. Thanks for listening to The Truth About Christmas.